Can you consider that God was created as a muse? That's M-U-S-E there, Simone. Was created as a muse, not as an answer for unknown happenings in the world.
I can consider that. I'd just like to clarify one thing, please. You mean like muse, like the Greek inspirational spirits, or do you mean like the thought, like a thought, like a pondering?
Well, I was thinking more in terms of the Greek girls and et cetera as inspiration, and as inspiration for creativity as well.
Well, that's funny. That really fits, doesn't it?
Yeah, like every great painter has a muse.
Did I hear what she said?
I didn't.
Great thinker has a muse.
Simone, are you going to repeat that, or are we just going to sit here in silence?
I said, like every great painter has a muse.
Not necessarily. They're supposed to, but that's just poetic conversation. But I'm saying, can you consider that God was created as a muse? If so, what do you mean? What do you think that means?
He's very amusing.
What?
He's very amusing.
Nobody knows. Okay, we'll just skip along then. We have some important...
She said something, did she?
Yeah, well, that's okay, but nobody seems to discuss the, or even talk about or anything else the question that I brought up, so I'll just move along. The hell with it. We have some important things to discuss coming up, so I decided to go over last week again and finish it. We didn't finish last week at all. But first, having had three or four conversations this week, I have to ask whether anyone knows the meaning of describing, or can describe describing, as opposed to they just talking about. And describing as opposed to speaking in conclusions. Anybody describe just speaking in conclusions? Because we have some important stuff coming up, and I thought we ought to bring this up first so that when we go over last week, we might be able to do a better job of it, and then when we get through with that, we can do a better job of discussing what's coming up. Nobody wants to discuss that? Okay, we'll just pass that away.
Whoa, what?
You want me, Pat? That I'll take a crack at that. But describing is using what I believe are probably it'd be a good idea to check. Using self-sufficient words, speak about what I see is actually occurring, and that is, it does not involve anything about what I conclude from what is going on, but simply using words to describe what is actually going on in whatever the subject matter is, that is actually observable and discernible, and that is description.
Okay. So you use words to talk about describing, but didn't describe describing.
Yeah, that's what I was like taking a second to think about how I would do exactly that. I'm a master of talking about things, so I could talk about it, but I was thinking about how exactly I would describe describing. I think of describing as like creating a first person, now I'm talking about it, experience for someone as such. Describing would be when I, this is describing, when I picture something in my mind, an experience, an idea, a feeling, anything, and I walk through my experience, and as I walk through my experience, I talk and use words to talk about the forms, the shapes, the sensations, the things I see and experience, and in that, I'm going to see that. That's what I do. That's describing, I think.
We got Miss M standing here. She wants to say something.
Well, not necessarily.
Yay.
I was waiting to hear what people
you
said.
You what?
I was waiting to hear what people said.
Well, I thought she was going to be amused.
She is.
I think that describing is seeing exactly what is there and putting into words that.
I'm sorry, I missed the last word. Putting into words what
that,
is there?
That which is there. A blow-by-blow vision of what you see in words.
Right. You know, Misty, I was gonna, I would have gone there until last week. We ran into that thing again where Roger wanted to clarify that an image is also a feeling. And I was thinking of that kind of threw me again from off of visual to broader definition.
Depends on what you mean by feeling, I would think.
I was thinking of feeling as being sensations in the body. Or a sense of maybe, I don't know, I didn't really, I said like last week, I said I felt confusion, but that didn't seem to meet the standard there.
I think that you could only talk about feelings relative to yourself, but not relative to anything outside of yourself, and feelings only relative to your physical body.
That's true. Exactly what I meant.
Well, using your words, when I ask you, can you consider that God was created as a muse, not as an answer for unknown happenings in the world, could you do better than just yes?
I assume you're talking to me.
I think I am.
Okay. So yes is, let's see. Yeah, I can consider, let's see here. What? I can consider that in so far as, you know, I could see someone way back in the past looking around at everything that was, had, you know, the world and thinking that there must have been some inspirational being that inspired all this process or something to occur. The world of, you know, the world around being the work of art, if you will, or the work of inspiration.
So, talk to me. Because all you're doing now is making God an inspiration. And maybe that's not what I'm even talking about here or asking about here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe clarify the question here. Did you say, could I consider that God was created as a muse?
That's what I said.
Yeah. I hate to tell you, Roger, that's about as far as my thinks went on that. What else might I tackle in that? How it might have been created, a muse, or
think again what a muse is.
Say again, Misty?
Think again what a muse is.
I think of a muse as a spirit that inspires the artist.
So
interesting. Hang on.
Like a dream.
What?
Like a dream.
Maybe God was the inspiration of myself, my life, in spite of my doings.
So you would consider Muse, as we speak about, as a dream?
No, I was trying to get him to just substitute. He gave a definition. Now he's saying, well, what about God? Substitute in God into that, and what do you have?
I want to continue talking about it, but I'm a little bit of stuck. Can you guys tell me a bone here? I missed you just did, but I missed that one. Need another one.
Well, if you're describing, aren't you going to describe how something functions? And if I say, could you consider God as created as a muse, and you say yes, well, then talk to me about how that would function in your life.
How that would function in my life. Oh, okay. Let's see. In my life, God as a muse would be I would first probably start thinking like, hey, so that's what that little still small voice in me is sometimes that, you know, talks to me. It gives me pause to consider. It fuels the considerations that I have or different things. It inspires me to think bigger or more other than just what I see and think and experience in memory. Maybe God is just that voice or that pulse or that idea.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to the Catholic God I grew up with, which was this overbearing old guy with lots of power and nothing on to do but, you know, look down on me and a few other people, but mostly me, and, you know, observe every dang thing I do and judge that.
So how would it be different if God wasn't amused to you as opposed to the Catholic God?
Well, the Catholic God set rules and judges things according to whether we meet, you know, his standards or whatever. But a muse is almost, as I'm thinking of it, as I'm trying to describe it here, I'm seeing it more as just maybe it functions like a question. Maybe it's more of just like a, hey, what did you ever think of this? Or like, hey, what about that? Or I wonder if this, you know, did you ever wonder if it could be that way? Or something like that. Instead of a rules and a thing you have to follow, but maybe a source of question or possibility that you could be thinking about or moving around, things like that.
Anybody else want to wade in on this? I guess not.
I guess not.
But do you understand that, but I have to force you to get there, that everything you said is a whole lot more than yes.
Well, yeah, but yes. Hey, now, sometimes you say that like, I'll take yes first. I don't want the rest of your answers until later. So I just stay there.
If I wanted more than that or less than that, I would tell you. What's wrong with that? Because your yes doesn't tell me what you think a muse is or what the relationship might be to you or how God as a muse might function. You haven't described anything about God as a muse. You just said yes, and I don't know a damn thing about it. That's why I said, well, that wasn't worth talking about. Are you there, Patrick, or are you out of this game?
He's here, but I have a comment. What if, so if God is a muse, I could...
Wait. Let me pause for a minute. I said that it was original. Is it possible for you to consider that God was originally created as a muse?
That was the question.
Then discuss that. Don't waste necessarily your breath on making a comparison with say, a Catholic God or whatever. Because there was no Catholic God at the time. What we're talking about is God might have been created as a muse. But go ahead.
Well, when you first said that, I kind of got a little bit confused around, well, that sounds like somebody created him, the God. So then I got...
You don't think God was created by somebody? If you, what you just said right now is that you believe that God exists as he is. As he is, and that all people are doing and everything that religion is doing is only reporting the facts, ma'am.
Huh. I guess when you said, is it possible that God was created as a muse? I thought that you were talking about the God that people suppose is there, the God that I thought you were kind of jumping on the religion bandwagon and playing with that idea from their perspective.
No, I just brought that up. You'd have to go back 6,000-7,000 years and put yourself into that situation. What if at that time, see, all they say now is that God was created by mankind to sort of give answers, like I said, to answer all these unknown questions. Where did the earth come from? Where did the cyclone come from? What is lightning? What's going on? What's occurring? What happens after death? And that's the presumption that's been going on for thousands of years. What if that's an incorrect presumption? What if God was originally created as a muse, even before the Greeks had, what's a Majigger and his wife, create three daughters, which then became later nine daughters, and all of that? What if that was occurred? Can you consider that? And then, so, if I could consider that, well, then put yourself back 7,000 years and whatever and say, then, what might be the relationship between you and God as a muse?
So then, rather than looking at God, looking to the God for answers, I would be using the God for a model.
Okay, and for inspiration as a model, not as someone you have to obey.
Right. So I might say something like I'm creating things in the image of God.
And described as a model of lovingness, not a model of power and authority.
Right. So, then, and I decide what God looks like and make things that look like God.
And if it's a muse, isn't it a muse for you?
Yes.
So you have a muse. It's your personal muse. That God would be your personal muse.
So then any attribute I give to God is just my creation.
Okay, let's assume that.
Yeah. So if I play with the idea that God is a mean, angry son of a bitch, then that's what I'm playing around with creating at that point.
If that's what inspires you.
Yeah. If I think that God is kindness, light, and love, then that is what I am playing with at that moment in terms of my creations and inspirations.
So then when I, if following last week then, when I start off saying Einstein's theory of relativity indicates that things can only be known relative to another thing, is it possible then that that other thing might be God as a muse, so that you could know yourself and other things relative to that standard?
So I might create the standard, create the God as love and lightness and happiness, and then look at myself relative to that standard that I've created, and see if I measure up to that standard, or if I fall short of it, or...
So, is it possible then that within that you could walk with your muse and look at yourself, or walk with your muse and talk about yourself?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it could be a really neat, self-observation, or it could be, I could use it as we have for many centuries, as a self-judgment thing.
Okay, sure. And could we send then that Patrick could have a different God or a different muse?
Oh, yeah. In fact, he would pretty much have to have a different one.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
Here's your choice. Personal self, eternal self, or illuminated self. Which might be the muse?
Oh. Illuminated self.
I didn't hear you, what?
Illuminated self.
Well, I thought what we talked about was the eternal self got you a place outside of yourself to stand and look at yourself.
Yeah.
Would that not be walking hand in hand with your God as a muse to see and know and understand yourself?
Eternal self?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Well, I was thinking of personal, eternal, and illuminated being different places I could stand.
No, not necessarily so, but well, I very carefully said that eternal self is not you, it's not a self, it is a place where you stand. Then can we say in the same sort of way, make the association that eternal self is what you create, that God as a muse is you create as a standard, as an inspiration to be, and also then a place to stand, to look at yourself, and to then be able to know yourself relative to something else.
Yeah, okay, I get that.
And when Einstein said, when he was talking about relativity and say, well, everything is all relative and moving and in motion and etc., and other scientists says, hey, Big Al, I got news for you, then we can't know a damn thing. Because you know that we have to have a standard by which that we can know all things. And Einstein said, pick a standard. And in that it's come down to you are the standard. Well, wait just a minute now. What he said was pick a standard. Could you create an eternal self as a standard that is you, but not really you, and that is God, but is you, but not as you, because it's an eternal self, which is what you really want. And then be able to judge and know all things relative to an eternal standard?
Yeah, that would work. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What? Because all this has then sort of been distorted to mean that things can only exist and be known relative to religion's God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that creates everybody is working according to a single outside standard. And I'm saying, well, can't you create your own standard in this regard? And could that be God?
And the implications are marvelous, and I don't then have anything to feel judged. There's no judging going on there.
No, that's inspiration going on. No matter what happens, it's only creative and inspiring.
And I can change that. I could change that standard at any time. I could change my muse.
Because he is not demanding of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? So do you mean after I've tried all these years to take God away from you as being not necessary in life, could we in that then give God back to you?
I suppose.
See, you cannot be truly yourself with religion's God. You have to, in essence, we would say, ask you if this makes sense. If you create God, as in religion's God, or become aware of religion's God, in that you deny yourself and sacrifice your soul, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you done that if you you give everything to Jesus or to God? Haven't you sacrificed yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
What if God was a muse?
Then I've just been playing stupid games.
So you maintain yourself. But yet you know all things relative to that muse that you have created.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? And if we set that as an eternal self in all of this, by the way, does anybody understand that I am describing, not talking about?
Well, I thought you were largely asking questions, weren't you?
Well, but that's part of talking about and describing. I'm describing, I'm talking about you in relationship to God as a muse. And if I say, if you create the religion's God, I set that as an example in this regard, then I'm talking about whatever I'm talking about relative to you. Isn't that this?
Yeah.
I'm describing your relationship to God as a muse relative to, say, your relationship to God as a religious God.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm making everything in all of this relative to you. So when I'm describing, I must only be talking about its relationship to you. And in that, when I talk about it as a relationship to you, I am then creating or attempting to create an image of you in relationship to God as a muse or a feeling, because a lot of your, that means that come about because it gives you an entirely different feeling of the relationship between you and religion's God and you and God as a muse.
Yes, it looks entirely different. It's a redefinition of God.
Right. See, I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about how you function in relation to that, or it functions in relationship to you, and then what that allows you to be and do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that make it a little clearer about describing? Because I am trying to take the picture and the feeling and the thing that I have and my relationship to what I'm talking about and create that same picture and feeling for you. I am describing it so that it creates a relationship with you, not so that I am talking about me.
Right.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that's what you're doing, but thank you.
Now, in that, I tried to go step by step by step. I didn't go, well, if you do this, then that will happen, because that's a conclusion. I tried to take you to that conclusion. I didn't talk in terms of conclusion.
Yeah, I get it. So, in a sense, you helped me, and I could make my own conclusion.
That's right. That's what's important in that. If I get you a feeling and a description so that you at least know what I'm talking about, you may get other, greater, different, more, or whatever.
So that's, I guess, been part of why I often was trying to talk about things and get to a certain conclusion. I got, you took me there, but you didn't state it. I didn't realize that.
I've been telling you guys this. All right, let's go a little bit further.
Yep.
If God is a muse in this form, then is he all and everything? Is he omni anything?
Oh. No, he just exists for me. If I want to play with that idea of him being omni, I guess I can. But he doesn't have any attributes until I give them.
Until you give them attributes?
Yeah.
Are you trying to say that you are greater or more and other than God?
Yeah. Wasn't trying to say that, but you could draw that conclusion if you like.
Oh, thank you. But then, God, you don't.
So omni as I am.
Wait a minute, what I didn't hear.
Might it be that it is so omni as I am?
Well, let's assume maybe. Who said you're so omni? What makes you think you're omni? Hey, wait a minute. Now, Karen said, Pat can have his own God. So, omni doesn't enter the picture.
Omni relative to me only.
I can't hear you. What?
Omni relative to me only.
Why?
Because I can't tell you anything in my life I don't know, anywhere in my life that I not am, things like that. Maybe in my life, I'm omni relative to me.
Why would you want God, a muse, omni to you? You're right back to religion's God.
Well, I was taking this God as a thing of me for me.
What?
I didn't realize it was, I was taking our conversation to be this muse God was a thing of me and for me, not something oppositional to me.
So what? If the muse God is muse in your life, what? You created him?
That's what we were talking about, yeah.
Well, then, if you created God in your life, then he can't be omni to you.
That's what I meant. How I create him, he will be.
Then he can't be omni.
Yeah,
he can't be greater than
that.
You.
Yeah.
Anything you create must be lesser than you.
What if I decide I want to create him omni?
I don't think you can.
Oh,
Really? I mean, it's only a muse. So can't I do whatever I want with it? That's my inspiration, somebody that's greater and bigger than me. I mean, I'm just playing with the idea.
Wait a minute. Wait. Pause. Omni means everything. It could be greater and bigger than you as a standard of what you're doing, as in the describing that we're talking about in this regard. But it can't be omni, because that would prevent you from ever reaching or exceeding that standard. And I asked you the question, can God create a rock he can't lift?
Well, I don't know, since it's a muse, it's only for my entertainment, for my inspiration.
Then it's not a muse.
Isn't it?
Nope.
Why not? Like, if I create God as an inspiration for me, might I play with the idea that God, this God that I created, is greater than me, and just see what that feels like? Are you there?
I'm pondering I don't think you can do that. I think you'd just be playing a game with yourself.
Well, isn't this all just playing a game with yourself?
No, it's not.
But a muse as my inspiration, I mean, when you talk about playing a game with yourself.
It's an inspiration of you.
Of me.
Can you create something greater than you? Like I said, can God create a rock that he can't lift? Can you really, 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 let's not play the game, can you really create a muse that is greater than you? The answer is no.
Okay, so what did we used to say? The purpose of life is to expand creation. So everything that I put, if I put things together that have never been together before, then I have created something greater.
Well, expanding,
am I going to
expand? Yeah. Creation is a lot different than greater.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Okay.
That's what we've got coming up. What are the implications of that? What does that mean to you in your life today? If we get through what we were talking about last week, and we'll just go over that carefully and then get into more detail. It's all relative to, like in describing, which I described, and then I illustrated that, and etc. In this regard, what happens if we then discuss the possibility that God was actually created merely as a muse? Are you willing also to declare to me that the God that you created for yourself as a muse is God of the universe?
God of the universe.
Yes.
God of the universe that you live in too?
Absolutely.
Okay, so my God that I created as a muse is the universe, is God of the universe that you live in. So am I not imposing something on you with that?
I don't know. I didn't really say that. Let's reduce it down to only what I said, that the God you created is the God of the universe.
Okay. God, I created something. All right. And so then the universe the God of the universe is as I created, as I created him.
Okay.
Totally up to me. It's my choice as to what God of the universe looks like.
Okay.
I don't have to feel.
And you can't impinge on me any more than you can in that then impinge on Patrick.
Right. Because you create your own God in the universe.
No, but no, don't go there. This is the same crap that everybody's been saying. You create your own reality. No, the reality I create is the reality of the universe.
Yeah, but you do that for you, Karen does that for her, and Patrick does that for him.
It's still the reality of the universe and the God of the universe.
What does the mean?
The means it.
I don't know what that means anymore.
It means one. One.
There's only one God. And I created him.
See, I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get you out of the language crap shit that you've been living with for a long time. Can you not consider that your reality is the reality of the universe?
I could totally consider that, but I'm scared that I'm going to have a conversation with you and you're going to disagree with me.
No, describe that. Get out of language. That's where I'm going to disagree with, because you're going to try to language that into an actual factual rather than describing that. So, describe it to me. Your reality is the reality of the universe. If you can conceive of that, then talk to me about your conceiving that. That's what I'm, this is what I'm asking when I say describe. Then don't look for a word that will justify it. Describe if you the feeling you have in that, or describe the image or picture you have in that.
Okay, so I open my eyes and I see a long strand of shiny green stuff, and there's another curly Q strand of shiny red stuff right beside it. Am I describing?
I don't know what you're describing.
Do you want me to tell you? Does it matter? Like I'm describing some tinsel in front of me.
Yes, because I asked you, could you conceive of that your reality is the reality of the universe, and you said, yes, I could conceive of that.
Yeah.
But if I talk about it, you'll disagree with me, is what you said. And
yeah.
I said I would disagree with you because you're looking for a word to talk about it, or a bunch of words to talk about it, rather than describing when you said yes. Is that a feeling or an image?
So I'm describing an image to you when I talk about long strands of shiny.
Sure, but it is an image, but is that an image relative to my question?
Well, it is of the universe. Like, that's the thing. And then we can talk about red, shiny red and green curly Q stuff and see how I feel about that and what that might represent to me in the universal picture.
Whatever, go.
So, the shiny stuff, that's light, which appears, like, feels to me like it's one of the fundamental building blocks of the universe. So these red and green curly Q things that are reflecting light are reflecting different shades, different colors of light back to me. So they're doing it from all angles because they curl around in curls. So they're reflecting the fundamental building block of the universe back to me in different colors, which I can totally see that as an inspiration for understanding more and more and more about the universe, because it's always from a different angle.
I didn't ask you that question.
Ah.
I said, can you consider that your reality, don't go mushing it back into Muse again or God again, that your reality is the reality of the universe? Because what you're doing is changing the subject.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to describe my universe. And I looked at the nearest thing to me and started describing it.
Well, let's assume you describe your reality or your universe or your reality. I don't believe that that's your reality per se.
Like I said, you'd start disagreeing with me.
It's because you're not, you've changed the subject.
Okay, so I'm lost then. I think I need an example of what you're talking about.
I merely asked you a simple question. All right, let me back up. If I say to you, the universe is as it is, and it is as you are, how does that feel for you? Because when I say the universe is as it is and it is as you are, then is that not saying that as it is to you, it is? Then if that's the way it is, then that's the reality of the universe.
What's that?
I said, if that's the way it is, then that's the reality of the universe.
Yeah. And so anything I look at as I describe it to you, I'm describing it to myself. I'm describing myself to you.
No, you're describing your reality to me. You might be describing yourself to me. Well, you see, this is why I brought this up, because, man, we got all this important stuff coming up, and we can't get past first base. We can't get past the first paragraph. If Einstein said, and he did, by the way, apparently, that further than what I've said here, that you only know things relative to yourself, therefore if you don't know yourself, you can't know anything. Isn't that fundamental in this quandary that we've got ourselves into?
Well, in this case, if you don't know your muse, you can't know anything. So if I don't know the God that I created to have as an inspiration, then I can't know anything.
The conundrum that comes up, if you can't know anything, and that includes yourself, how can you discover or know yourself? If you have to know yourself relative to yourself, and you're saying I don't know myself. How in the hell can I possibly discover myself relative to myself?
Well, isn't that what we were talking about, why we would create a muse?
What?
Isn't that why we would create a muse?
Why?
To have something, another position, so that I can stand in one position and look at the muse and know that it's also myself. So I can then see myself in that other, on the other magazine.
So your problem is, under that conundrum that Einstein brought up, was the fact that you have to have a position or place to stand that is you, but not you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then how would you know God?
Well, same thing. I'd have to create God and stand on a position other than God so I could look at God.
But then God would have to be you.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yep. That's okay. That fits with everything we've been in so far.
Yeah.
If I say to you, then in that case, you're telling me you are God?
Yes.
No, everybody says, oh, yes, sure. It's like the book from the 70s, Three Little Words. It said, okay, you are God. Now talk to me about that. Describe that. What is it like being God?
Well, I went to work today, and I was really busy, and I saw a couple of little kids today in my office and several adults. I described them all to you. That's what it's like being God. I've got four dogs lying around at my feet right now and curly, cute, shiny tinsel, red and green. That's what it's like being God.
But you didn't really describe it so I can understand it. I have no way of understanding that.
Okay. I open my eyes and everything that I see, I know that it is a creation of me. I sing stuff into reality.
Wait a minute. You didn't create that house, or if you did, tell me how.
I drove down the driveway and there it was. So I had an image of it. And
how did you create it? You drove down the driveway and observed it. How did you create it? Because no matter where you're going in language, you're going to end up as Buddhism, is that the thing itself is an illusion. And you created it in mind as an illusion.
Okay.
And let's assume that. Does that mean that you are an illusion?
I don't know. I don't know anymore. I'm lost.
So, this is where I've been at for years now, trying to get across. What do we do about this? This has got to be a long. We know from the Greeks that this is a long-standing problem and question and etc. But and all they did was to say, well, you know, that's spiritual stuff and you can't know that. The mind of man, human mind, can't know that. And I start out from the very beginning and say, hogwash. If I can't know that, then life is absolutely meaningless. And I don't believe that. So, I won't go there and end that. It's a matter of then, how do we resolve this dilemma? And we start off by saying, okay, we'll create a place for me to stand to observe relative to myself, and that place is a self that is me but not me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I give you, I have you create then an image. Well, okay, fine. As long as we're talking, would you mind telling me the image place that you have of your eternal being, where you can stand, that is you but not you, and talk to me about and describe you?
Well, every time I open my mouth, I seem to create more stuff.
What?
Every time I open my mouth or cast my awareness around or put my foot on the ground, I seem to be creating more reality around me.
What does that mean? I don't understand that.
I speak and the universe has new stuff in it.
So you're expanding the universe.
I'm expanding the universe.
Well, see how simple that was?
Yeah.
Now tell me some more. I want to know from a point of you create your eternal self. What is that like?
It can be really confusing when I'm stuck in language and I think I'm causing stuff.
Then I guess we could say language is a big problem, is it not?
Yeah.
So then describe what you are or are doing as an eternal being and describe what life is like from that position.
Life is always seeing something new.
Is what?
Always seeing something new, or hearing, or smelling, or tasting, or experiencing something new. Every moment is new.
That's you too?
Yeah. So I am something new all the time.
As an eternal being, you are something new all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then we could say, are you telling me in that, let's assume this is the case, that eternal is a constant reoccurring?
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
What does that mean?
Even if something looks like it's the same thing, it's not. It's a new thing. But it's a constant renewing. Sometimes things look the same, sometimes they look different, but you can rest assured that they are always new. What else does that mean? It's never the same thing twice.
That means you are not.
Right, I am never.
Well, if you can only know things relative to a fixed position, then you can't know things relative to yourself.
No. Because I'm never the same thing twice.
Maybe you
Except
could be.
That you know that you're constant renewing.
Maybe it could be.
So that's something that's the same every time, is that it's constant renewing.
No.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Constantly renewing, I know you said that, etc., but that still means change. If I go out and paint my car and then renew it and paint it again, it's still changing.
Yeah.
Now what?
I don't know.
Could you create an eternal self that is unchanging?
That is unchanging in its constant changing.
Who says it has to be constantly changing?
Well, when I say it's always new.
Who says it's always new? You just said that. I said, could you not create an eternal self that is not constantly changing?
Oh, that's what you're saying. I guess.
Well, if that eternal self is you but not you, then you could know yourself relative to that eternal self, which is you. But it's not the ever-changing you that you're talking about.
Ah.
So you could then know the ever-changing you relative to that eternal unchanging you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. I see it.
Or you could stand in that position as an unchanging you in that regard and look at and see your ever-changing you and begin to understand what you are doing or who you are or what you're living, which you can't understand incestuously relative to yourself because you're ever-changing.
So there's, I see two me's standing there. One is like this shimmering, constantly changing kaleidoscope kind of me, and the other one is the same.
But then when you take your ever-changing self and go stand there, you are standing for that moment in an ever unchanging self.
Say that again.
If you as a personal being are ever changing in an ever changing world, that when you take that ever changing you and go stand in this eternal place or position, you become eternally, in that sense, unchanging if you have created your eternal self in that image.
Okay, yep.
So you have a way then to, as an unchanging individual, to be that and to observe yourself as an ever-changing individual.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you could create a place in your universe where you could stand ever unchanging and observe yourself ever changing.
Changing, yes. Yeah, I could do that.
And haven't we then, in a sense, I'm getting ahead of myself in doing this. I really do, but I. So then, if that's the case, if that eternal self is a God, an ever unchanging God, you could use that as a muse to see and know yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then that position as an eternal self, as an ever unchanging God in that regard, is a real muse for you in that regard.
Yeah.
And so you could then step out of yourself to that position and be able to know and understand yourself as an ever-changing individual.
Yeah.
So you could then step out of that position and know yourself, maybe not for very long, but at least know yourself in like stop motion, in a sense, know yourself in as an ever-changing you. Would that be okay?
Yeah, that would be okay.
Could you stand in that position and in a way that you could know yourself well enough that if you wanted to change your ever-changing self, you could know what to do and how to do it?
I suppose.
Which you don't really know how to do that when there is how to change your ever-changing self when you're ever-changing. What the fuck do I do?
Yeah. Can't get a fix on anything.
Yeah.
But all I need to do is look at myself as a never-changing self.
Or from a never-changing self position and watch yourself changing. If you're watching yourself changing, you could begin to understand who or what you are changing to and whether that's what you truly desire. Which, while you're ever changing, you don't know what you're changing to.
No.
I gotta throw away my outline here.
You gotta throw away what?
I gotta throw away my outline. This is why I said we got some stuff coming up, and I've already fallen into the revealing all of this stuff. Maybe I ought to just go to the other one and start there. For instance, for centuries it's been said that to know something is important, but it's nothing compared with experiencing.
Yes.
You understand that? That's Buddhism personified.
Yep.
If you move from the place of a personal self to an eternal self, you can know yourself as a ever-changing you, could you not?
Yes.
And in that, by moving back and forth in this way, could you experience yourself as an ever-changing and also be able to experience yourself as a never-changing?
Yeah.
Because you can see yourself from the other position.
So you're both sides of the stick from the Buddhist perspective.
Because you have two places to stand and observe that are mutually you, but not you, because one is ever-changing present and one is never-changing eternal.
So you'd have both understanding, knowing yourself and experiencing.
Aha. Whereas what Buddhism tried to do is to say, by experiencing you would know yourself. But what they, Christianity and Buddhism and etc. Is to know yourself as a spiritual being. What do? You can't know yourself because you don't know what spiritual is.
So you can't know without experience, and you can't experience without know.
You're right. So what I said before is you can only resolve a duality with a duality. I gave you the duality of personal self, eternal self, to resolve the duality of changing, never changing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So could we say then that everything I have said is a complete, utter waste unless you put it into action?
Ah, yeah.
So that when you put it into action, you are actually experiencing that.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is that your only choice? Is there no third option?
There's always a third option.
What might a third, from what we're saying here, what might a third option be? Believing and knowing as opposed to experiencing. Well, okay, I know it, I experience it. I experience it and I know it. What the hell else is there?
No.
Be what you are experiencing.
Be
the experience.
Okay.
So that when you step from personal self to eternal self, you are being that experience that you are experiencing yourself as a personal and experiencing yourself as an eternal. Is it possible that doing that and being that is greater than either knowing or experiencing?
Can you please say that again?
I'm saying that while we talk about knowing and experiencing, one is greater than the other. That's like saying, well, spiritual self is greater than a personal self. So religion says you got to give up and you have to be the spiritual self. Or then Buddhism would say, well, you know, knowing is not enough. You have to experience it. And you go into meditation and you experience this. It isn't a knowing, it's an experience. And I'm asking you, if we put those two together, is there something even greater than that? Be the experience that you are experiencing.
Yeah.
Choose either one and you lose them both.
Yeah. So that's kind of reflective of personal being, eternal being, and universal being, the three positions.
Well, if we put them together to be the experience in that regard, are you willing to say in that then that being the experience is you as a universal being?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Do you want to add to that? Or do you want to just let that sit there?
Well, I'm just playing around with it right now. I don't know if I can add to that.
And this whole conversation started by changing God. By God being a muse for you, all of this then comes to the foreground.
Right.
We take God out of the context of being Mr. Omni-everything, and you know things only relative to God. You can't even know yourself except relative to God. Get that out of there. Get rid of religion's God. And bring God back as a muse. Who, in what I've just said, are you?
God's creator.
So you're God.
Yeah. God's God.
You are your own muse.
Yeah.
So I then in that have tried to show you how to be your own inspiration and how to create your inspiration and be creative in all of this. That's called a muse. So then God is your muse, and that's you. You as an eternal being is God as a muse for you.
It's kind of circular, isn't it?
But that's the nature of all of this and why we've come to such a big problem. Take either side of that circularity in that regard, and you lose all understanding and awareness of what's going on. Well, let's put it this way. Einstein said, it seems that you have two choices in life. You can consider that life is, that everything in life is a miracle, or nothing in life is a miracle. Which would you choose?
Ha ha ha,
yeah. Ha ha ha, yeah, what does that mean? That didn't tell me anything. Talk to me.
Which would I choose? I would choose that everything is a miracle.
Well, could you consider that living by cause and effect, nothing is a miracle?
Yep. Living by cause and effect unchooses miracles.
I didn't hear you, what?
Living by cause and effect unchooses miracles.
Okay. So nothing is a miracle. And you can know everything.
Living cause and effect.
Yeah. I mean, and you can't know, excuse me, nothing is a miracle. Nothing is a miracle, and you don't know anything.
Yes, okay.
Living by emergence, everything is a miracle.
Okay, so living cause and effect, nothing is a miracle, I don't know anything. What about experience? What am I experiencing?
Let me turn it back again. Would you rather live that everything is a miracle, but you, I think I said that wrong earlier, so let's start over again. Can you understand that living by emergence, everything is a miracle?
Yes.
But a miracle is like, it's a miracle, it just happened. I don't know what happened, it just kind of happened. Yet by living by emergent, though it's a miracle, you know everything.
Yes, okay.
And living by cause and effect, it's not a miracle, but I did this and it caused that. And yet, you don't know anything.
No, I'm thinking that I know the one thing that I'm looking at, but I don't.
But you don't know what you did that caused, if you're living by cause and effect, that caused what happened. So you don't know anything.
Right.
So would you rather live that everything is a miracle, meaning, how in the hell did that happen? And yet you know everything?
Yeah, that looks good to me.
Describe how that is how that can be.
I don't know how to describe that.
Here's what you do. In what we were talking about this evening so far, you put yourself into the position of being a personal self and created then an eternal self, which in a sense is a complete opposite of personal self. Then you stood in the personal self and looked at the eternal you created, then stood in the eternal position and looked at the personal that you are creating. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah.
Stand in the position of constituents. We're talking about emergent now. And look at what is emergent and describe that. Then go stand in the emergent and look at the constituents and describe that, the action, relative to you.
So you're saying stand in the position of water and look at the hydrogen and oxygen?
Don't talk to me about water and hydrogen and oxygen. I'm talking about you, and we don't care about water and hydrogen and oxygen. You stand in the position of the constituents and describe emergent. That's a miracle. You didn't know it. Wow. Now go stand. What?
The miracle of me, that she who opens her mouth and creation emerges.
You're not standing in the position of constituents.
I'm not standing in, say that again?
You're not standing in the position of constituents and talking to me about what is emergent. You're standing in that position and talking about you. I want you to stand in the position of constituents and talk to me about what is emergent. Then go over and stand in the position of emergent and talk to me about the constituents.
I don't know what you mean by standing in the position of constituents.
Okay. If you stand in the position of constituents, what are you doing?
I'm surrounded by parts and pieces.
What are you doing?
Standing.
No, I'm just standing, you're in that position. What are you doing in that position? You are choosing constituents.
Okay.
Isn't that what you're actively doing?
Yeah, okay.
And when you look at emergent, wow, look at that! Wow, I didn't know that! Isn't that a miracle?
Right.
Now go stand in the position of the emergent and look back at, and what do you see?
So if I'm standing in the emergent me and I look back, could I say I see the constituents of past lives?
Why past life? We're just talking about constituents. Don't introduce something that we don't need. From that position of emergent, you look back and you say, I see you chose the constituents that are me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Yeah, okay.
So it's no surprise, this is what you chose. That's here I am.
Yeah, okay.
You put together those two constituents, or 10 or 12 or whatever, over there. So here I am.
And which constituents, like what are we talking about in this case?
Any constituent in your life.
So it could be where I live, or a job, or car I have.
I'm saying can you look back and say, of course I am here. I see the, and this is the way I am. I see the constituents that I have chosen. It's a miracle. Here I am. Well, big surprise. There's no surprise there. Of course not, because I chose those constituents.
Yep. Yep, I see it.
Can you get a sense of that, or a picture of that?
Yep. Absolutely.
So, it's a miracle. But it's no big surprise. You were able to stand here and say, well, I chose those constituents, so of course this is me here.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Could you stand in that position as, that position as an emergent was an eternal position, was it not?
Yeah.
So you could look from an eternal position and look back at what you were doing, what constituents you're choosing, and say, well, if I keep choosing those constituents, I'll be here eternally. Unchanging in this way.
Unchanging, yeah. Interesting.
And you're able to look at that and see that you keep over here, if you keep choosing the same constituents, you're going to get the same damn results. Emergent.
Yeah.
So you can stand in this position here and maybe I should choose a different constituent now and then. unless I really, really, really enjoy being as I am an emergent today, maybe I should choose it. What?
Yeah, no, I see that. Like, I might experiment with different constituents. Or if I decide I don't want this anymore, I want something different, then I would need to choose a different constituent.
So, the question is, why do you keep choosing the same constituent?
Habit.
Huh?
about it.
What is the difference between cause and effect and emergent? Can you tell me that?
Cause and effect.
See, habit doesn't give me any answer. You're trying to use one damn word to talk about this. I want you to describe the difference between cause and effect and emergent, so I know what you're talking about.
Cause and effect, my focus is on the result I'm trying to cause.
But it's a miracle, you can't know that.
I know, but I keep trying.
Why are you trying?
Because I'm stuck in cause and effect.
You're not stuck in a cause and effect, you're stuck creating cause and effect. Why are you stuck in cause and effect?
Because I don't think I know how to do anything else.
Because you saw an emergent once, and the habit is, well, that was good, I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
But when you get over on the other end, the emergent side, why do you keep doing that? So if you're going to change yourself or change anything, then, wait a minute now, let me see now. How would a muse, God as a muse, enter this picture? Carry God as a muse around in your pocket as you move from personal to eternal, or from constituent to emergent, and tell me how God as a muse might serve you.
Well, I'm standing in my emergent, and I decide that I want something different. I pull out God and create Him as something different.
Why change the muse? Change you. You wanted something different.
Yeah.
The muse is only there to inspire you.
Okay, so
when you created God, you created God as a what?
As a muse.
As eternal.
Yeah.
So when you're standing as an emergent, you have an eternal to say, this is what you have created. Is this what you want eternally?
Right. Yeah.
So an inspiration, a creative inspiration, is as much to say, here's what you're doing, is this what you want eternally?
Mm-hmm.
So God serves as a muse to say to yourself, no, because when you're picking constituents or cause and affecting, you're saying, well, I can change, but you don't change. You keep doing the same damn thing.
Uh-huh.
Because you didn't... You what?
In a futile attempt to cause something.
In a futile attempt to cause something that you once enjoyed.
Yeah.
But you're a different you now.
Yeah. Oh, that's why it doesn't work, because it's a different me now.
Oh. Is this okay?
Yeah.
What would happen do you suppose, let me pause this for a moment. Is it possible that you are your own muse?
Yeah.
Then as an eternal being, you are eternal self, you are God.
Okay, yeah.
Is that okay?
Yep.
I mean, does all of this make sense? Because I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in the whole damn thing.
Okay.
Okay, monkey wrench?
Here comes.
Okay, here it is.
I'm ready.
What do you suppose happens to all this if you're living a loner body, loner self, and loner environment? And are you not then in that living a loner God?
Yeah.
A loner muse that isn't you?
Yeah. A loner universal being, perhaps?
Yes. Which isn't you?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems so familiar that you keep doing it.
Yeah.
So you keep doing the same damn thing, but it ain't you. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Well, why couldn't your eternal self create you as a personal being?
Why couldn't it? It could.
Good? How? Would you mean describe that to me?
Oh, God.
See, this is what we've done with Mr. God. We've made him omni-everything, which says, well, then he's omnipotent. So therefore he can do anything. Not so. He can't do anything. In fact is, personal self created eternal self. Personal self created God as a muse. The muse did not create you.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
So, your parents gave you substantiality, or however you want to use this, so that you had something to work with, so that then you could create yourself using this process, or similar processes, however you really wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to live what you started functioning as. But if you don't change yourself and your body and your beliefs and your God, you're stuck. Fact is, as long as you keep the body the same and the self the same, you can't even change your beliefs. If you believe something, don't think you can just not believe it. We discussed that 2 weeks ago. Oh, I don't believe that anymore. Oh, yes, you do. You have the same self, the same body, the same you. You believe it, whether you believe it or not. Until you're willing to change your body, yourself, and your beliefs or your environment of beliefs and everything else, you are living a loner self.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think would happen? Now, I'll just think of this for a minute. If you went over to Pat and said, could I borrow your muse? Could I borrow your God? Could I borrow your beliefs? You wouldn't do that, but you've done that.
You're right.
What?
You're right.
You've done exactly that from your parents.
Yeah.
and you won't, if you won't change them, and you would say, well, how do I change them? How do I know what to do? I think I just tried to describe a process of using your loner personal being and your loner eternal self or personal self and eternal self in even your whatever loner beliefs to give you a way and a manner to get into then experiencing that which allows you to change yourself to be as you truly desire. I didn't tell you in conclusions, well, you know, when you get, when you just decide you're tired of that belief, then you take on another one. What? I didn't do that. I tried to break it down from the parts and pieces and tell you, do this now, step over there and look at yourself and understand yourself and understand what's going on. Yep. That's describing.
Yep.
And I didn't I didn't shortcut that by saying, well, you know, you gotta know yourself as an eternal being. That's a conclusion. What do I do to know myself as an eternal being? And then you step into the position and know yourself as a, how do I do that? Well, what are you talking about? When I wrote 14A called Bringing Your Eternal Self Alive in Your Life Today, those were practices, so what I just said in the last 2 hours, you begin to understand that that eternal self is a place or a position that you stand in, and in that you become that experience and are able to look at yourself today and say, am I choosing the constituents that I want to be and live eternally?
Mm-hmm.
We okay?
Yep.
And I didn't tell you, like, meditation. Well, you go into meditation, it's everything in the world. You go into meditation, you shut off everything, and you experience. What are you experiencing the minute you come back to say, what am I experiencing? You don't know. Because I haven't told you or given you an understanding of personal eternal that allows you to begin knowing what you're experiencing. And in that then being the experience and know that as you are an experience. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that too much?
It's a lot.
Well, that's where we're going.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Well, if that's okay, and nobody else has anything they want to talk about, we'll stop right there.
Wow.
I guess nobody has anything to say. Okay, well, good night.
Roger. Thanks, Roger and Karen. I appreciate you guys doing all that. That helped.
Cool. Yeah. Hello to me.
Okay. Good night for now.